Stain Gang podcast time, and time to talk about the red-hot Midwestern State volleyball team with head coach Stephanie Radecki, who celebrated her 400th career victory on Tuesday night in a non-conference win over East Central. Let's just start there, Stephanie. Let's start with your 400th win. I'm just curious what the – I mean, I always kind of get a kick out of how we get all excited about round numbers. There's not a huge difference between 399 wins and 400 wins.
Yeah.
But we do – in these are milestones, yeah, and we do celebrate them. And I'm just curious what your thoughts were about winning 400, what it means to you, and what it means to do it here at Midwestern State.
Well, it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to me because of all the people that – played a role in that, you know, just getting the text and the social media responses and from past players and past coaches and, you know, past sports information directors, just like being able to think back on all the people that played a role in the opportunities that I've been given and how exciting that's been. And I think that's why it's such a cool moment, because you get to think back and just really celebrate why we do this. Why do we do this? Because of the relationships that we form with people and the special memories that we create with them.
Do you remember your first win?
I remember that it would have been at St. Leo University. Who it was against, I don't remember. I remember that team, though. They were a lot of fun. I still talk.
You spent 1 year at St. Leo, right?
I was only there for one season. That was not the plan. I was really excited about the opportunity that I was given there. Fran Reedy, he hired me as the head coach there, and I thought it was a great university. It was a great opportunity to be in an amazing conference. I mean, the Sunshine State Conference is one of the best conferences, especially for Division II volleyball. And I loved every minute of being there. It was a fun experience. You know, obviously, I had always had the dream of going back to North Alabama because I was a graduate assistant there, and I loved it there. And so the fact that that Matt Peck and Jeff Motluck won a national championship and then encouraged me to apply for the job when they took the job at MTSU, and I was like, I'll apply, but I just don't think I have a chance. So it wasn't in the plan to leave St. Leo after a year, but I was offered the head coaching job at the University of North Alabama by Joel Erdman, amazing athletic director that I still have so much respect for to this day, because he taught me a lot. So I was really lucky.
And I'm guessing in the last 24 hours or so, you've reflected a lot, because the bulk of your wins came at North Alabama.
Yeah, I had a great career at North Alabama. Had amazing players trust me and come play for me and work extremely hard for me. And it was a really fun time. So.
And we're starting to have some fun times here at Midwestern State now. This team is playing really well right now.
They are playing really well right now. It's been a fun season. It's been fun to watch them grow. You know, we knew 2 years ago when I took over the program and Kyle Williams hired me, which I'm very thankful for, that it would be a building process and that it would be a difficult journey to get the program where we wanted it to be. But we're starting to see signs of that, and it's really exciting. You know, everyone wants to see progress immediately. You know, it's kind of like
we're a microwave society.
If you work out the first day, you're like, why didn't I lose 10 pounds? That's what we want. And I understand that too. And, you know, first season, second season, you know, you start to feel that pressure and you start to feel the stress of that. The beginning of this season, we started to see the stress of that, and then we started to see some results. And so I'm really proud of the group that we have, and I enjoy being around them, which is, you know, what I told them last night after the game. And I think that's a big win as well.
And I've told you for the last couple of years that the team's obviously playing better, but you weren't getting the results. What's the difference now? Why are we getting the results now?
You know, just the mentality of expecting more and knowing that in order to expect more, you have to give more. I think they're starting to acknowledge that. And when you start to see results from hard work, it makes the hard work a little easier. And I think they're starting to see that. And we definitely have fallen into more of a true starting lineup, which if I'm being honest, I don't know that we've had since I got here, just because, you know, when things aren't really ending in your favor, you feel like you need to make a change, or you feel like you want to give someone else a chance to try to spark, you know, I felt like we just continued to do that. And now I feel like we've landed in a starting lineup. That doesn't mean that we don't have players on the bench that can't go in and help us. I know we do. You know, we've talked about that all season. And so I think that helps too. It brings consistency and expectations. You have expectations of those that are in that lineup, and they know that they have a job to do.
We talked a little bit about in the postgame show that your hitting percentage during this span of six games that we're talking about, you won five of your last six. You're 7-3 at home now. By the way, over 500 through 23 matches this year, and you're now 12-11. Pretty deep in the season to be over 500. These are all nice marks, and this is the most wins for Midwestern State since they won 15 in 2017. So
that's exciting.
So there's a lot of good things happening.
Yeah.
But one of the things we talked about in the postgame show was in this six-game stretch, you've hit at least 204 in all of those matches. That's a significant increase from where you were earlier.
Yes.
And I know that this is probably a stupid question, but how do you get there?
Well, I mean, it's just performance. It's based on performance, people stepping up and offensively performing, you know, and I think it just depends on the night. But overall, you've got to kind of play off each other in terms of, like, if one player has an error, then the next person has to do, like, find a way to put the ball away. You know, obviously, I think the one negative to last night that we none of us wanted to talk about after the game was the 8-point stretch that we could not side out in the second set that I had to use both of my timeouts and two subs to try to get out of.
Which was amazing was you won that set.
We did win that set. That is pretty amazing. It just shows that what we're capable of when we just mentally find a way to plug away. And I think we did that in the third set as well. Like, I remember the timeout where we were down, and I think were we down 20-13?
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like it was just us saying, okay, we know we can, we're fine. We just got to focus on one point at a time. Like, obviously, we're not where we wanted to be right now, but how do we control that mentally and just really think about plugging away and then being in a better place after the set, whether that's a win or going into the fourth? And so, you know, it really shows, yes, offensively our hitting percentage is a lot better, but it also shows what we're capable of defensively. So
right.
Just giving our hitters more opportunities to put the ball away.
I know I'm repeating some of what we talked about in the postgame show last night, but not everybody caught the postgame show last night because they were at Ligon Coliseum. So, but you were amazing in that first set last night. You hit.
Yes.
I believe you hit over 450, maybe 470 in that first set. You had one attack error in that entire set.
Yeah.
But I was more impressed with what you did in the second and third set.
Yeah.
Overcoming that 9-point run that they were able to put together. And then coming back from 7 points down after they had gotten to 20.
Yes.
So I thought the second and third were at least just as impressive as the first set.
We were very crisp in the first set, and I think, you know, the comment that I had made to the team after the first set before they went out on the floor for the second was, I'm very confident that we have the ability to continue to play like that. I'm also as confident that East Central has the ability to play way better.
Yeah.
And that they're not going to continue to play that the way that they played in the first set the rest of the match, which I think held true. So, I definitely think we played really well in the first set. But what we were able to do in terms of finishing sets the rest of the match was key to the win.
Well, and this is another thing that we've seen in this stretch where you've really come on strong is your ability to close out sets, which had kind of been a speed bump for you, mm-hmm. where you might have a lead late in a set,
yes.
but you weren't able to close it out. So we weren't getting the results. But one of the reasons we're getting the results now is you're closing out those sets.
Yeah, and I think that our team – as a whole made a big change when we went to Southwestern Oklahoma. Like, we were playing such a phenomenal team and were able to finish out sets. And so we kind of, like, you could see that mentality. Like, you could see him on the court. You could see Demi looking at everybody and being like, one, we need one. Like, just kind of reminding everyone to just focus on that immediate play. And I think that really turned their mentality and their mindset to understand that they are capable of those of just staying in it and plugging away.
You know, it seemed odd to me when the schedule came out that you had these two non-conference games.
It seemed odd to me, too. Who did that? I think I sat in Amanda's office 2 weeks ago and was like, what was I thinking?
You had these two non-conference games late in the season. And normally, as everybody knows, non-conference games are played before the start of the conference season, and then you just play conference the rest of the way. But it has worked out really well. It's a stroke
really
of genius
well.
By the head coach to schedule these matches.
Thank you.
And I think you've won the GAC championship now.
I don't know. I was pointing out to Jen that I looked at their standings today, and we've beat like 1-3-6 something, but then we lost to Henderson State. I hate to bring that back, because Henderson State's a really good team, but I think they're sitting at 10 right now in their conference standings. But either way, they're a really good team. So, I think these non-conference games, like, we schedule them when we can. You know, the first three weekends when we play four matches,
right.
We really can't play a midweek game. And then it just kind of depends on how the schedules line up on if we can find a way to schedule them when we have a bye or just one match on the weekend. And this was just the way it lined up. And these two teams, I think, were really important for us to continue that relationship with, to continue playing. I want to play Swazoo anytime I can. And not because we beat them this year, but because that level, that program, what Josh Collins has built there is the dream. That's where we want to be. You know, we want to be in those situations. So, like, in order for your team to always understand where you want to be, you have to see it. And I know we see it in conference, but it's a little different when it's not a conference match and you don't have that extra pressure. Yeah.
Can you kind of compare the two conferences? Do you think the GAC is comparable to the LSC, or is the LSC a lot better than the GAC? Or,
well, based on the results I've seen, I think the Lone Star Conference is a little stronger, but it's not
not head and shoulders.
I don't think so.
And we're back to conference play this weekend with Texas A&M International and Kingsville coming in. How do we keep this roll going? I mean, I realize that's a loaded question, but that's what everybody wants to know, really.
Yeah. I mean, we just have to continue to focus on, always important to focus on getting better every day. What can we control, and how are we going to enter the gym today? What's our mindset going to be? Are we going to be focused on what's coming up, what task we have ahead of us? You know, I think this team wants more. I know our staff wants more. I know that we're going to continue to fight and do whatever we can to be successful. And it's just a matter of focusing on that moment.
You know, it's got to be somewhat rewarding as a coach, because every coach I talk to talks about, we just want to get better every day. And it doesn't always happen that way. But you've certainly seen it happen this season with your team. And you're getting the results, as we talked about earlier, but your team's getting better every day.
I think they are. I think they continue to. I think all of them are. You know, I think we're seeing some of the best practices. And, of course, with these two midweek matches, we haven't had a ton of full practices the last 2 weeks. But I think we've seen some practices where we've seen some performances out of people that aren't even playing that are really starting to step up and they're playing their best right now, which is what you want. Like, you don't want anyone to not be playing their best. I mean, we saw Sadie come in last night, and I thought she did a phenomenal job. I thought Brooke and Ari were both playing really well, and in the second set when we switched because we couldn't side out, when we went back to Peyton and Sadie and Elena, we ended up winning the set. And the subs weren't necessarily the reason why. And that's not why we didn't go back to him in the third set. I think in the third set, I stayed with Sadie because just to kind of reward her for coming off the bench and doing such a nice job in the second set, that she earned that opportunity to stay on the floor. And, you know, like, I had a conversation with Brooke after the game about it, and she's like, oh, no, I get it. Like,
well, that's good too, right?
Yeah. And I think that shows, I think we have some really good leadership right now from our seniors and from our captains that are kind of holding true to, well, that's what you say every day, and that's what you did.
It looks like this is an outsider looking in, but it looks like you're also getting leadership from some of your younger players.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, obviously, I think from the start of the season, I knew we were really lucky to have the four liberos that we had. And I think that they've continued to show our team what it means to kind of battle out for positions, and then what it means when you support the people that earned the roles or the people that the coach chooses to put in that role at the time. So I definitely think that we're seeing a lot of leadership from different areas on our team.
Just real quickly, in terms of the teams we've got coming in, what challenges do Kingsville and A&M International present for you?
Well, they're good programs. They both have been consistently impressive in the Lone Star Conference, so they're always going to have great players. And I think, you know, with International, they have a really strong setter that's very offensive, and that's always, I think, a challenge for any team to handle. And I think Kingsville has one of the best middles in the conference. So, you know,
that should be a fun battle then.
Our hands are full, yes.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Yeah. Stephanie, congratulations on win number 400, but now let's get 401 and 402 this week.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Stephanie Radecki joining us here on the Stain Gang Podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the Stain Gang Podcast, and be sure to make your plans to be at the Elegant Coliseum Friday night, 6 o'clock. A&M International is here, and then at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, it's Texas A&M Kingsville. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for listening to the Stain Gang Podcast.